Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I had not heard it, the news, until I heard it in Dan's newscast. Leonard Peltier has his life sentence commuted, Native American rights activist. Yep. I never understood why I was so familiar with his name. Mm-hmm. It was everywhere. You remember
in Lawrence, the 90s. Everywhere.
In Lawrence, there were free Leonard Peltier signs everywhere. And I can't find a connection to Lawrence.
I think it's the Native American population there with the school being
yes.
there.
And maybe. This is from the McClatchy, Washington Bureau from 2009. It says there was a time when Lawrence, Kansas was pretty much synonymous with global efforts to free Leonard Peltier or Peltier.
It was in the 90s. The signs were everywhere, but I cannot find a single connection to Lawrence.
He has garnered worldwide support from the likes of Amnesty International, the Dalai Lama, government figureheads, celebrities, and countless others of influence. He was convicted in 1977 of murdering two FBI agents in a shootout on a South Dakota Indian reservation. He found support that always seemed to stem as much from acknowledgement of the historical abuses of American Indians as it did from his own issues and whether he got a fair trial.
There was never an eyewitness, and the ballistics did not match his gun.
Much of the freedom effort was generated throughout the 1990s from rented office space in Lawrence, Kansas. Then he was transferred from the U.S. Penitentiary in Leavenworth to Indiana and later Pennsylvania. So he was in Leavenworth for a time.
Okay.
And his entire defense committee, it says, never really took off again quite the way it had in Lawrence until the White House started looking into it. But this would mean the White House looked into it as early or late as, what did I say, 2009?
Mm-hmm. You did. So he has had his sentence commuted. He is still on house arrest. He's 80 years old and is now in declining health. His daughter, though, is quoted in an article I just read on NBC News as saying, "Thank God, now we can visit with him, hug him. There are no time limits on how much time we can spend with him, but he will not be able to leave whatever home he finds." He is on house arrest.
Back then, when this was written, one daughter lived in L.A. and another lived in Lawrence.
Okay, so maybe that's the connection.
Maybe.
A number of people are saying it's Peltier. I've heard both. I've heard Peltier, Peltier.
Mm-hmm. And if I mispronounced, I apologize.
Well, all I know is the signs were everywhere in Lawrence when I was a yeah. student there. I mean, he's been away for decades.
So I have a run, do not walk. And I'm late to the party because it was already one of Dana's run, do not walks. American Primeval.
I knew it.
Is awesome.
I knew it.
Oh, my word. We were watching that over the weekend before all the football games would start. So we did three on Saturday and three yesterday. And that show is awesome.
You enjoyed it, huh?
It's not as gory as Dana led on, I didn't think. There is some, you know, It involves the Mormons leaving from Independence through St. Joseph, going out to Utah, and all the things that happen along the way. A lot of Indian violence where they fight with and Mormons fighting against Mormons and all kinds of stuff.
Have you finished it?
Yes.
Okay.
You finished it
yeah,
already?
Yeah, we did.
I finished it in one day.
We finished it in two.
We blew through all of it in one day, and that is how compelling I tried to tell you.
It's really good. It is really good.
It's definitely a run to the library, read the history, and then watch. It's a good
yeah.
It's a good
one. I will say this, and I know we have a large Mormon community here in Kansas City. The Mormon Church does not look good.
It does not.
In this series. Brigham Young.
The leaders, specifically.
Yes, Brigham Young comes out horribly. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Then governor of Utah.
Correct. looks horrible. I will say this about the ending, and I will not spoil it.
I loved it.
Kind of sort of saw that coming, but not the ending I was hoping for.
Okay.
If you know what I mean.
That is fair. That is fair. Very fair.
I saw it coming.
Yep.
And I was hoping against hope that that would not be the ending.
That is fair.
Can we talk about your glasses, please?
Yes.
Okay. Would you tell everyone what you've applied to your glasses?
I have a horrible late onset allergy to, I believe, plastics and glue, specifically Band-Aids, latex glue, surgical glue. And so we bought something, Sam, at your request to put over the side piece of my eyeglasses because
to protect
my
your skin
left
from the
ear
plastic.
Is horribly, horribly broken out.
And now my right ear is the same
it's
way.
It's called allergic
protect your side piece.
Transference. So we bought whatever that thing was Sam said to buy. It was $9. But it had a band in the back. And you know me, I always wear my hair up in a clip. Mm-hmm. The band was in the way. And so my person over the weekend said, just clip that off and keep the side protection on to protect your skin. I've done that. And my ear is starting to get better. I would urge you, Scott, to do the same.
Okay. But now that you're wearing these with the, what are those, hoods?
Crokey arms?
Yeah, crokey arms?
Protective arms.
Okay. They don't fit your face anymore.
They don't.
Well, here's the deal. You solve one problem and another one pops right up.
I look over and this is what I'm seeing this afternoon.
I look like Minnie Pearl in here had an accident. But you know what? Yeah, I'm not itching and I'm not scratching and the allergy is starting to go away. And for it to go away, I had to stop wearing glasses. The problem with that is I can't see.
Anything. You're bumping into everything, but you don't itch.
Have you guys considered...
The wheels are falling off in real time in this room.
In your mature age.
Uh-huh.
Prescriptions?
Going to see an eye doctor.
I have...
They're called an ophthalmologist.
I am not a candidate for LASIK. I don't know why. Whichever problem I have is not LASIK... adjacent.
No, he's talking about going to see an ophthalmologist about just getting glasses.
I have done all of those things. I have looked for hypoallergenic glasses. I have put nail polish on the sides. I've done everything everyone has suggested, and the contact lens experiment was a dumpster fire.
Did you go to a skin doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Good.
It's called a dermatologist.
Got some cream from the derm. She's like, you come in here with the weirdest stuff wrong with you. I go, I know.
Boy, it itches up there.
So here we are.
Want to borrow some of my cream?
Here we are.
Somebody says, I'm listening on the phone, just got in. What is the series you're talking about? It is called American Primeval. It is on Netflix. It is 6 parts. Some are as short as 34 minutes. Some are as long as roughly an hour. And it is a series about the Mormon move from Independence, Missouri through St. Joseph to Utah.
And the bloodshed
along the way.
The way.
Yep.
It's
brilliant.
It is the number one or number two most watched stream on Netflix.
It's a
right
part
now.
Of history that a lot of people don't know about. The Mormon War of 1857 to 58. They'd already been in Utah and wanted to claim the whole Utah territory for themselves.
Now, Dan, we were talking about this over the weekend. I think if you grow up in Utah, they probably teach that in the high schools.
Quite possible.
But everyone probably. I've talked to that watched this series is like, did we miss that in history class?
Yes. I had no clue.
They did not teach any of that bloodbath in history class.
Here, they don't teach. They probably teach some, but they may not teach all the history of what went on here in this region we now call the Kansas City Metro when it comes to
prohibition,
immigrants,
and the Mormons and getting kicked out and Caldwell County was established for them.
I don't remember any of that.
There's a lot of history. That happened in the 1800s that a lot of people just don't know about.
It is fascinating. By the way, I looked it up last night because I was curious how many, of course, we all know that Brigham Young was a real human being, governor of Utah Territory. Red Feather is a real person.
Yes.
And Red Feather features prominently, at least in the last 3-4 episodes of
and
the
James
show.
And James Bridger of Fort Bridger fame.
He is a real human being.
Because what you're going to do when you watch this is you're going to... pick up your phone and go down a rabbit hole for 2 hours, which is what I was like, did you know this? And did you know this to see what was true, what was embellished, all of those things. Right. Do not watch it with your kids.
I had never heard of the Indian tribe Shoshone. I had no idea that was a real Indian tribe.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Great Basin, Nevada, Utah.
American Primeval. It is on Netflix and it is worth your time. Dan Weinbaum, Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBZ. I'm sad to report this because I've met him several times and he was nothing but a gentleman. But John Sykes, who played guitar on Whitesnake's big release in 1987, plays guitar on this song, Is This Love, even wrote it. John Sykes also played in Thin Lizzy, has died at the age of 65 after a battle with cancer, according to his Facebook page. They write, he certainly marched to the beat of his own drum and always pulled for the underdog. In his final days, he spoke of his sincere love and gratitude for his fans who stuck with him through all these years. But John Sykes, famous for being on the multi-million dollar selling Whitesnake record in 1987, has passed at the age of 65. A story here out of Alabama. Only days after a breastfeeding mother summoned for jury duty was forced to bring her three-month-old daughter to an Alabama courthouse, the state Supreme Court declared breastfeeding women should be excused from jury duty. Candace Brown spent around 3 hours last Monday at the Jefferson County Courthouse with her three-month-old daughter, Parker. The mother says her daughter is exclusively breastfed, will not take a bottle, and they stay together at all times so the baby can eat. Brown says she had to explain multiple times to judges and clerks why she could not serve on jury duty without her baby. Quote, I had no choice. She cannot eat without me, and I cannot understand the entire time that they couldn't understand that. She cannot leave my side.
Not only do you have the embarrassment, and I say that because you have to explain this to multiple people that act like they don't understand what this entails. She was also threatened with being reported to the Department of Human Resources mm-hmm. because she brought the baby to court to be with her to feed the baby.
Well, that was from a judge who said, and I quote, on the microphone in front of 300 people, all the mothers that have children here today need to make accommodations for your children to be picked up. We would hate for DHR to get involved.
Yeah, they threatened the women. Are you kidding me? What year is this?
One of the clerks said that she could pump.
Oh, God.
Brown says she was floored. This has created an incredible public outcry in Alabama. Why can't you just call into the clerk and just say, I just had a baby 3 months ago. I'm breastfeeding. My baby won't take a bottle.
Especially, I don't know if this is her first child or not, but if it's the first baby, you can't win. You have people telling you you have to breastfeed because it's the right thing. You have people tell you, you know, well, you can bottle that baby. You don't need to breastfeed because you've got to be here at jury duty. You have people tell you to cover up when you're trying to feed your child in public.
Breastfeed, but not there.
You can't win for losing. And if you're a new mom, the level of anxiety that all of that brings to you is very, very real. I told you this. I had a colleague with whom I don't believe I ever spoke much after who asked me, 6 or 7 weeks into my son's birth, like, how long are you going to do this for? Talking about the pumping. Because I pumped that breast milk when they were dredging the lake for bodies. I pumped in live vans.
You would sit in the live tray, yeah.
You know, you do what you have to do. But I was a new employee. I was a new mom. And I just remember sobbing. Huh. Because I was like, I don't know. Like, you're supposed to do it a year. And I will never forgive him for this. He said, well, it's already causing problems. Oh, yeah. He should have been fired that day for that. But that was before.
Was it a photog?
We knew. Yep. It was before we knew. Oh, yeah. Oh, Dan's. Oh, you know exactly who it was, too, Dan. It's already causing problems. And I came into the newsroom after that shift and just broke down sobbing because I was already pumping that breast milk in a disgusting bathroom in the basement, praying to God no one walked
probably
in.
Probably unsanitary.
Oh, of course it is.
What did he mean it's already causing problems?
Because I would say, like, I'll meet you out back in 10 minutes. Let me pump really quick before we go because we might be out for 3 hours or 5 hours.
And not to be gross, but if you don't pump.
Oh, God, it just builds it starts and it builds to hurt, and it right? builds and it builds and then it comes out. It leaks. You know, it was just, oh, my God.
Good times.
I look back at that sweet Dana at age, you know.
Naive Dana.
27, and I just want to hug her. And I want to hug this woman
what
because
would you have
duty.
Said? In that setting, had you had the mind that you have today?
Oh, I would have marched directly back into the building and dealt with it that way.
Why didn't you do it then?
Because you're young. I was intimidated. I was in a new city. I didn't know anyone.
Yeah.
I was a brand new mom. I was hormonal, emotional, off the charts. And I had just been hired. So you think I'm going to march
in
and
if you wouldn't complain.
Yeah, start causing problems the second week I worked there? I mean, it just was. And I don't think they had ever had a breastfeeding mom in the newsroom before. Now,
what?
After I was done with that first year, I went to upper management and said, can we please, this is an enormous building, can we please create a space somewhere downstairs with a lock on the door? And they were like, oh my gosh, it never occurred to us that we needed to do that. Yes, that building was huge.
From the text line, I had jury duty this past summer in Warrensburg. They told a woman that was breastfeeding that she was automatically exempt.
And they should be.
You would literally say, Your Honor, I'm sorry, can we take a recess so I can go take care of the thing?
Right.
I know.
How is this even a question?
As a 50-something-year-old woman looking back, you want to think things have gotten better, and I think they have. I do. I think overall they've gotten – when you go to the airport now, there are enormous –
there are breastfeeding rooms,
little
actually.
Rooms that you can go in.
Your Honor, would you like to see what happens if I don't?
Yeah. Bring them up.
When we get back, and I know we're not a sports station, but I mean, it's either we talk about the Chiefs or we talk about the inauguration, and I have no intention of talking about the inauguration. We didn't talk about the last one. We didn't talk about the one before that, so we're not going to talk about the one today. So we've got two Chiefs-related stories. If you were watching on Saturday, you may have seen one of the Texans players pushing his coach.
I think pushing is an understatement.
Shoving.
He went nuts.
And also... and I know you don't want to believe it, the top 10 states where the Chiefs are hated the most.
All of them. Oh.
Top 10.
I was going to say, it's only 10?
All of them except for Kansas and Missouri, and you could even make an argument in portions of those two states.
Yeah, like in western Kansas, eastern Missouri. The top 10 states where the Chiefs are hated the most, the top two are very, very obvious. We'll get to that and much more coming up in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. Story here from the New York Post. During the Houston Texans AFC Divisional Round playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs, cornerback Chris Boyd found himself in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons. Boyd shoved Frank Ross, the Texans special teams coordinator, during what became a 23-14 Texans loss at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday. The incident occurred following a pivotal special teams play where Boyd initially forced a fumble on a 63-yard kickoff return, but a flag was called. Despite the impressive play, the Chiefs recovered the ball. Boyd's reaction, he removed and threw his helmet, resulted in a costly, unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. As Boyd returned to the sideline, a heated exchange with Ross unfolded, culminating in him shoving his coach.
It looked like he was going to kill him. Look at the reverse shot of the coach when he goes in for him. Just, you know, fists ablazing. The coach has this look on his face like, oh my God, I'm about to go down.
Said Boyd, speaking to reporters after the game, I was turnt. Never heard that word before. I was turnt. That first play kickoff, they thought they had a big play, and I got the ball out. And as I'm getting up, I look at the screen, and I see nothing but white jerseys, and they're all pointing. So I was like, oh, yeah, we got the ball. Turnover. I was just turnt.
Have you ever been turnt, Scott?
Beg your pardon?
Have you ever been turnt?
I don't know what it means.
Very excited.
Yeah.
In the emotions of the moment.
Sure,
turnt.
I've been turnt.
I've been turnt before.
Yeah.
But
now, it has many definitions, by the way, but this is the specific use here.
When my boss walked in, that I'm going to go for his or her throat because I'm so turnt.
I think we should have to use the word turnt every hour of the show today.
I think for all of our listeners, when you go home and get your teenager in the car, you have to use it in a sentence, but do not laugh or smile or break character. You have to just say,
I'm so turnt to see you.
Rough day today. You would not believe how turnt I was. But I even had to go in when most people aren't working today.
Now, does turnt Can it be a negative and a positive? You're just so overwhelmed with emotion.
Well, turnt can also relate to being heavily inebriated on some sort of substance. Mm. That is also turnt. Turnt up.
Turnt up.
Think like Lil Jon, fire up that loud, another round of shots, turn down for what?
Turned
He's
down
turnt
what?
Up.
He's turnt up.
Why would he turn down? He is turnt
song.
Up.
Got correct. It.
So it can be a positive and a negative.
It depends on what context we're talking about here. In this specific context, he's referencing
negative.
Being fired up, being, passionate about the moment.
So
he was turnt.
Regarding intoxication, I would be very disappointed if my kids came home on a Saturday night and they were really turnt.
Absolutely, especially if they drove. You would be livid.
Oh, furious.
You would be turnt
that they got
they
turnt.
Were turnt.
Boyd later said that he loves Frank Ross.
We're so dumb.
He told me, hey, listen, don't worry about that. We had a whole ball game to play, but I was just trying to get my point across. Like I said, I'm not that type of person. I love everybody in here. I never disrespect anybody. That is not my character.
Except that one time that I shoved Coach. Sorry.
Because he was turned.
He's turned.
Of course.
Yep.
It happens all over the league. We've seen it many times.
We've seen it on our very own sideline, dare I say.
A very famous player who may or may not have shoved Andy Reid last
year.
Well,
it was more just like a chest bump.
See, he moved like 3 feet.
This is unbelievable. When this guy does it, it's bad. When Travis Kelce gets turned,
And that chest bump moved Andy Reid like 3 feet. That's one hell of a chest bump.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
All right, tell me, where are we the most hated?
All over the country, Dana. All of, from coast to coast. Number 10. These are the states that hate the Chiefs the most. Would you care to guess the two obvious ones?
Well, anywhere the Raiders are popular.
Which would be Nevada.
Yep.
Number two.
New York, number one.
On the list.
I was going to go with Denver.
Colorado.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number 10 is New Jersey. Number 9, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, Maryland. Not surprising. Ravens.
Nope.
Number 7, they don't even have a team. Utah.
What?
Yep.
Those Utahns hate the Chiefs, man.
Okay.
Utahites?
Utahns.
Utahites?
Utahterons.
Utahterons.
Number 6, Arizona. Number 5, another state that doesn't have a team. New Mexico.
You're not allowed to hate us if you don't have a team.
Number 4, New York. Number 3, Ohio. Number 2, Nevada. Number 1, Colorado.
Oh, Bengals in Ohio. I was like, why does Ohio hate us?
Well, in Pennsylvania, because the rivalry that has just started with the Eagles.
Yeah.
And, of course, Pittsburgh plays in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Surveillance cameras were rolling at a Louisiana elementary school when a parent was seen slapping the principal hard enough to knock her out of a chair.
Wow.
It happened during a basketball game.
There it is again.
After school in Plaquemine. The Iberville Elementary School surveillance video was leaked to WFAB investigative reporters. It shows the principal trying to stop young children from walking onto the basketball court as a game was being played. It occurred twice. Plaquemine police say the next thing that unfolded led to criminal charges for two adults. The principal sitting on the chair, three kids in tow, and one of her friends. The principal said to keep the kids off the court. It's disrupting the game. The mom apparently took offense to that. You see her move in on the teacher, the principal. She punches her and knocks her out of her seat.
She was turnt.
She was turnt.
Yeah.
Principal suffered a busted lip, did hit her head when she fell out of the chair. Mom, Alicia Parker, has been charged with battery.
Good.
Resisting officers and disturbing the peace. What is going on in America?
I don't mean to one-up your story, but I'm about to.
Oh, please, please do.
A pet monkey is in trouble.
Hope I don't get turnt.
After jumping through the drive-through window and attacking a worker at Starbucks. A Starbucks employee was attacked by a customer's monkey, according to Alabama police. It happened Friday at the Mobile Police Department released a email about it. The animal and its owner were gone by the time officers arrived, but investigators were able to piece together what happened. The employee was working the drive-thru when a monkey inside a customer's car got free. The monkey then jumped from the car through the window and attacked the employee. A coworker, please God, tell me there's surveillance. A coworker rushed to help and pulled the monkey off the employee. The monkey then got back into the customer's car before the customer drove away. The owner of the animal could face charges. It remains an active animal services investigation.
What kind of monkey was it?
Well, it's been identified, Scott.
Oh.
As an Autus monkey.
Common spelling?
A-O-T-U-S, a genus of nocturnal monkey. Who would want a monkey that is up all night long?
Given the moniker the owl.
Oh, you've seen
monkey.
These before. Look. Right there.
Oh, those are the ones with the freaky eyes.
Buggy eyes.
I'm telling you right now, I don't care where you work, that thing jumps through a window onto your face. I'm going toward the light. Who, I'm out.
Also known as night monkeys.
Who drives around with a monkey just freely roaming about the vehicle?
Sam, I bet you money they claim it is an emotional support nocturnal monkey.
You know it.
I bet you that worker is going to have to get rabies shots.
Did it bite her?
Well, I don't know how.
Did you just go?
I've never been attacked
like
by
a monkey.
Let me see. Monkey Alabama. I'm going to keep our eye on this story because I guarantee you when it comes out, this is going to be a woman.
Are your eyes
going to
look like that?
Yep.
Okay.
This is going to be a woman. She is going to be about 56 years old. I'm just
single.
I'm calling it right now.
Single.
Single.
Definitely.
Because she lives with a nocturnal monkey.
Kids don't ever come around anymore.
And she is going to claim this is an emotional support animal.
Guaranteed. I'd bet an ex paycheck on it.
The text line has a demand.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do a buzzword with Busby.
Okay.
And it's going to be turned.
Oh, yes, please.
Will you get him on for the next segment, if you don't mind?
Is he working today? I don't know why he wouldn't be.
Well, it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Most radio stations give their employees a day off.
Do you
imagine
want to
most
see
TV stations do, too.
An image of the monkey before it went turnt.
Mm-hmm.
This is an image of the monkey. My guess is through surveillance.
Well, you're right. It is a woman.
It is definitely
she has
a woman.
Wrinkles on her hands, so she's a little bit older.
Yep. Bad monkey. Bad monkey.
Clearly.
The Starbucks employee required stitches and vaccinations. I knew it.
So it's likely she was bit. All right. TikTok is back on in the United States. That was short-lived.
It lasted about 90 minutes.
No, I thought it was like 12 hours.
My buddy and I were sitting at breakfast on Sunday. He pulled up TikTok because he's addicted. And he got the message saying TikTok is down for all U.S. users.
Yeah. Well, it went dark at midnight on Sunday morning.
Oh, okay. And then, yeah, by mid-afternoon, it was
back
up and running.
There was video. I was perusing some other news site. There's video of some guy crying because he cannot get on his TikTok account.
Oh, come on.
And this is not a young kid. This is like a middle-aged man who is crying because he cannot get on TikTok. It was down for 14 hours. So it was back on by 2 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday.
Get a grip.
Mm-hmm. The current administration that was sworn in today says they're going to push, I'm assuming this is coming from an executive order that will be issued today, that will give TikTok 90 days to figure it out. There are 170 million Americans, roughly half the population in the United States is on TikTok.
By the way, if they were to enforce the ban and the fine that comes with the ban, between Google and Apple, those two app platforms, they would owe $850
billion. So it was my understanding yesterday, and I'm not on TikTok. I've never even seen TikTok. I just don't have an interest. You know, my bandwidth is enough for Facebook, and that's it.
Yeah, you watch the Facebook version,
which is Reels.
Yeah.
But it's my understanding that the the app platforms did not allow you to access TikTok. But if you already had an account, they activated your account.
Well, that's almost everybody who cares about it.
It's 170 million Americans, yeah.
Well, so you could go on, and I'm not familiar either, but based on the information that I have gotten about it, if you go onto your web browser on your computer, you can log in and use it.
If you already had it.
If you already had an account.
But you couldn't start a new account yesterday.
You also couldn't open your app with your existing account and use it.
Okay. Bloomberg and the Wall Street Journal both reporting last week that China is considering a sale of TikTok to Elon Musk. It says here it's unclear that he would want to, and he has not publicly commented on any of these reports. TikTok calls reports of a sale to Elon Musk as pure fiction.
Yeah, ByteDance has said we're not even considering that. I don't know why they're saying it.
Okay. Quick break. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks.
You know, people ask us from time to time, do you ever run out of things to talk about? Do you like ever not have something to talk about? Just remember that somewhere in Alabama, there's a woman named Tammy who owns multiple monkeys.
Yeah.
Who then is alleged to have taken two of them, not one, through a Starbucks drive-thru in Mobile, where a monkey jumped through the drive-thru window like some scene out of a horror movie and attached itself to the barista's ear.
Nocturnal monkeys at that.
Is there any other kind, Sam?
Yes.
Yeah, most of the other kinds are not nocturnal, yeah.
That's why they got those big buggy eyes.
I'm going to say I'm spot on. She's about the age that I described in my mind's eye.
Mm-hmm. You knew she was a woman.
I knew it was going to be a woman, and she is single.
Gentlemen, line forms Shocker. To the left or the right, depending on where the monkey's standing. I would avoid it.
I said to Sam, you guys, during a break. This says she's separated, and Scott goes, from reality.
Separated for life.
Starbucks has offered to pay all medical costs. There is a workman's comp claim, and one of the executives at Starbucks called the poor girl who had the ear and wrist injury and said, in all of my years,
yeah,
I had to look at this claim twice. This really happened, didn't it?
Oh, it happened.
The woman has been told she cannot go through the drive-thru any longer with monkeys in tow, but that she is welcome to come inside. She's not been banned, which I don't understand. Yeah. She is welcome to come inside. And when asked if she had a comment, she said, no, I don't want any more harm to come to my primates. She did not say, I'm sorry that this happened, that a young woman needed stitches.
Harm and to her primates.
Vaccinations. She is solely concerned about her monkey.
You know, when we're talking about this woman, and you and I sort of touched on this off the air, want to be careful here.
Be nice.
I will. But people who have emotional attachment or check that emotional support animals like a peacock or, you know, a crocodile.
Or a mini horse. We've seen that.
Yeah. And many of them want to bring these animals on airplanes. Because they just can't bear to travel without them. And I know we have a family friend who has some emotional issues, and she does have an emotional support dog. I can kind of sort of get behind that idea, or maybe an emotional support cat. But when your home is littered with monkeys and you can't dare to go through the drive-thru without two of them, mm-hmm. or you have an emotional support peacock – and you're on a flight, and that thing has to be in the seat next to you. Something has happened to you so bad that you are completely detached from the real world. And there's a part of me that wants to make fun of it, and there's a part of me that really feels sorry for it. Because I think you're in La La Land so far that you might technically be a tour guide.
She loves her monkeys.
I understand. But what happened in your life? And maybe it was traumatic. Maybe it wasn't and you just made it traumatic. But like I said, there's a part of me that wants to feel sorry for these people where they need a peacock on an airplane to go to Orlando or wherever. And you can't stand to be separated from your peacock.
Something tells me the peacock is not the help that they need. Just a guess.
Right. Quick break. The news is coming up with Dan Weinbaum in just a couple of minutes. That guy over there is Sam Steve of the Third. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Hey, don't forget to check out the Dana Parks podcast. It is available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.